Aaron Rodgers openly talking about his football mortality? LeBron James doing more podcasting than hooping? We need to cherish these dudes while we still have them.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I don't know what it is about my thumbs and this touchpad thing, but I never can seem to hit the play the open button there. Is that like a... I mean, you saw me clicking it, C-Cat.
Yeah.
It was happening.
You're floundering.
But, you know, just like the talents and the athleticism of the greats that are playing, when we talk about an Aaron Rodgers, a LeBron James, even a Kevin Durant, like, my talents are withering away right before my eyes. It's weird. Man, theoretically speaking here, myself, Theo Dorsey, C-Cat on the other side of the glass, on the ones and twos, on a Wednesday where we're talking about those things in life we need to take the time to cherish. Not just in life, but specifically in sports, because today I was really awakened to so many different things, so many cherishable things, so many things that play a monumentous part in my life as a sports fan that are nearing the end, nearing the twilight. And it is a little bit sad, but the beauty of it all is that we still have these things. We still have inside the NBA right now. By the way, inside the NBA tonight, NBA on TNT. Every day is a good day when Anthony Edwards is playing. I know we had Pacers Celtics last night. That was a thriller. The best show in sports, though, is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They tip off tonight on TNT at 8:30. Mavericks Timberwolves opening up the Western Conference Finals. Game one, that's going to be exciting. I can't wait for that one to start, obviously, tonight. It's easy for me to be in a mode of being grateful, showing a lot of gratitude, and also talking about cherishing things that might be gone soon, because literally around this time last week, when the Timberwolves were trailing the Nuggets 3-2 in the Western Conference semifinal, I thought I was done watching Anthony Edwards until the summertime. I thought I was going to have to wait until Team USA basketball to see Ant Edwards, the Ant-Man, back on the court. But thankfully, he and Kat and Rudy Gobert got things together. They're playing tonight, so that's something to look forward to. But the reason why today we opened up with what we should cherish in sports right now as sports fans is because of the news we've been getting around the NBA. C-Cat, how locked in are you on the broadcast right deals and the situation going on between Turner Broadcasting and the NBA and potentially NBC, which is starting to burgeon itself as the new partner for the NBA?
Pretty loosely. You got to spell it out for me and the audience.
I will. I'm glad you said that. And thankfully, I'm not going to go through all of the minute details of it. But as we know what it is right now in the NBA, you have ESPN as the main broadcasting partner. You have TNT. That's where you get inside the NBA with Shaq, Chuck, Kenny, and Ernie. It's called Inside the NBA. My wife, Ashley, endearingly calls them the four bald guys. And what we learned today in the Sports Business Journal is that the four bald guys inside the NBA could be doing a victory lap next season. It could be a farewell tour next season if Warner Brothers isn't able to renew itself as a broadcasting partner of the NBA. And again, Tom Friend had this article in the Sports Business Journal that came out today, and I won't go through the whole article, but the last sentence is the omen that has everyone in sports a little concerned. If Warner Brothers does in fact lose the NBA, 2024-2025 will be its final season under the current deal. That is a bit breathtaking. Now, of course, you don't lose the characters themselves. Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, those are guys that are going to be in media in some form with us as long as they are with us. You know, we'll be getting takes from them. The one thing, though, that did take me over the edge is, I don't know if you've been noticing this, but Charles Barkley, who, again, hopefully we do see him on the call tonight. I know Draymond Green has been filling in for him. Every interview, it seems like this dude has taken over the past 2 weeks. He's spoken honestly and openly about what his future may be, not just with Turner, but with the NBA and in media in general. And Charles Barkley was on Sirius XM, and he alluded to something that I never even thought about being a possibility, but now today it kind of makes me sulk a bit. Ernie Johnson is a staple of Inside the NBA. He is one of the legendary broadcasters we have in sports media right now. He's a guy, he's a friendly face. You can hate or love any of the guys on the desk, but it seems like he's the one with the highest Q rating because he keeps the fellas going there, right? Charles Barkley on Sirius XM today alluding to Ernie Johnson being nearing retirement.
I don't think Ernie would leave. Well, B, I don't want to give you any lie to you. I don't. First of all, I know Ernie would not go anywhere else. You know, Ernie's almost 70 years old. I think he's going to retire sooner than later. I don't think he would go to another network. And I don't know what's going to happen with Amazon, ESPN, or if we lose it to NBC. I'm not sure how to answer that question, honestly. I just don't know. Ernie would not go to another network. I'm damn sure about that. I would listen before I made any decisions.
Chuck's a businessman. He's open. Like I said, we're going to see more of Chuck. We'll see Kenny. We'll see Shaq. The question is really, what he's alluding to there, we might not see Ernie anymore. And he's not even the only one right now in sports that is, there's a foreshadowing that we might not have them in our zeitgeist in the near future. Because also, literally, moments before we're about to spark up this show, we're having a good time. I'm talking about how the one guy in sports for me that I want to cherish while we still have him playing basketball is LeBron James, because we know he's walking into that twilight of his career. We know that, if anything should tell you that LeBron James is nearing the end, and it's obvious because he's in year 21, the dude was podcasting during the NBA playoffs. That's the same LeBron James who would do the Zero Dark 30 thing and not even tweet, not even be on social media during the postseason. That was just happening maybe 4 or 5 years ago at the latest. He was doing the Mind the Game podcast with J.J. Redick during the postseason, and he's still doing it now. In fact, he was specifically talking about the Pacers-Celtics. He's the only one in national media bringing up Pacers players, specifically T.J. McConnell. I think this is a bit weird, C-Cat, because as LeBron James turns from Le GM into now the broadcaster, the analyst. Is that a good?
Yeah.
As he turns, if he shifts his focus, and now I guess also the owner in the NBA, he's being more and more open about his opinions of NBA players. But I've heard this once, twice, three times from him already. I find it a bit peculiar. He keeps specifically pointing out one Indiana Pacers player who, by the way, again, last night, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics beat the Pacers 133-128. LeBron James, on his podcast that was released this morning, pouring more love into a role player from Indianapolis.
Oh, and obviously T.J. McConnell, he's just a coach's dream to be able to have a guy like that that comes in, knows exactly what he's doing, push the tempo. He's always going to be high in assist to turnover ratio, and he's just a dog. So you are absolutely right, man. This postseason is great, and as much, obviously, we know the narrative is always going to go to the star guys. But to be honest, these games have been won by the MVPs of the role players.
And by the way, T.J. McConnell, one of the only ones that had a positive turnover to assist ratio last night, 4 assists to 1 turnover. The Pacers were turning the ball over left and right all throughout that game. In fact, that's how they lost it. They had a lead late, and if it wasn't for Tyrese Halliburton dribbling the ball off his leg, as well as an errant inbound pass to Pascal Siakam that Jaylen Brown got his hands on, we would be talking about the Pacers being up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. But the Celtics lucked their way into a win there. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum were great down the stretch. But specifically, LeBron James, hearing him actively podcasting during the NBA playoffs reminds me, not only are we getting good content out of the guy, but we're in the last days of getting him on the court playing at a high all-NBA level, trying to lead a team to a championship. He's one of those guys right now we need to cherish in sports because we don't know when the last day of seeing LeBron James play will be. And then again, what I was really alluding to, but I'm all scattered-brained right now as I'm getting emotional about these sports figures we're losing, there was Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers in Fordham Park at Jets OTAs moments ago, up at the podium, and him foreshadowing the fact that he knows he only has a couple years left tops in the NFL, but specifically this year could be make or break, not just for the 40-year-old quarterback, but for all of the folks he brought in there, whether that be his former Packers, Nate Hackett, and maybe even his head coach and GM. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about how this year could be make or break for the Jets.
If I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing, we're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though. I know there's, you know, it's a tough market to play in. It's not for everybody. I relish that opportunity. And that's the way the NFL is. I'm not saying anything monumental as you guys are typing away and putting your
they couldn't wait to tweet that
out.
This is
how it is every single year. You might not say it, but as you get older in the league, if you don't perform, they're going to get rid of you or bring in the next guy to take over. I mean, it happened in Green Bay. So, and I'm, you know, a few years older than I was back then. So I expect to play at a high level. I expect us to be productive and competitive and all that stuff to take care of itself.
Now, I actively root against Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, I've never been necessarily a fan of his. His game is incredible, right? Like, I did like him at times with the Packers, but his personality kind of rubs me the wrong way, so I've never rooted for the guy. But thinking about the NFL post-Aaron Rodgers, it does get me a little bit emotional. Thinking about the NBA post-LeBron James, I'm actually saddened by that. That's LeBron Incorporated. That's a guy that carried the Eastern Conference mantle by himself for over a decade. And you see what we're getting now in the Eastern Conference. A Celtics team that stays getting in its own way, playing with its food and almost losing to an Indiana Pacers team. And then a Tyrese Halliburton-led Indiana Pacers squad in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, LeBron James was holding up the East like the Atlas dude, right? Like, on his back for so many years that we didn't even realize how decrepit that conference still can be at times. LeBron James, Aaron Rodgers, even Ernie Johnson, guys we're going to have to get used to going on without. So that's why I asked today, who in sports or what should you cherish now, because we don't know how long it'll be that we'll still have them with us actively playing. I'm not getting morbid here. I'm talking about guys leaving our vision, leaving our sight in the game. Not just the NFL, the NBA, but sports at whole. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Who or what in sports should we cherish now because we don't know how long we'll have them? And for me, it's got to be LeBron James and what he brings to the game. And C-Cat, I can say this. Thank God we're getting a LeBron James Jr. this year.
Of course. Of course. Back in the news. Yeah. That's what we needed.
Just a guy, I mean, because here's the thing about LeBron that people don't like to admit. Like, either you love to love him or you love to hate him, right? He's one of the most polarizing players in the league. So no matter what he's doing, what he's calling for, who he's rooting for, who he's actively recruiting to the Lakers, that's another thing people are angling about. Like, is LeBron James just trying to get another point guard in the house for the Lakers and TJ McConnell? I don't know. He also has a very effusive praise for GM of the Thunder, Sam Presti. He talks about that dude at every turn. Like, I don't think it's any of that. I think, number one, LeBron is angling to be an owner of an NBA franchise. But then also, he's just in his broadcaster bag right now. He's in his post-career bag right now. And it's just a little sad to me to see. Evan Cohen, who we hear on Unsportsmanlike every morning with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty, and he always makes his Wednesday appearances with us. He's going to be with us after the break, and I would love to hear his LeBron take because he's as a Heat fan, as a Heat culture purveyor, he's actually a LeBron hater in a sense. So I don't know if he's going to feel the same way as I do about this, but I did hear on Unsportsmanlike this morning that he actually drew a bit more from game one of the Eastern Conference Finals than I would have ever. He has a now undying faith. He has a now strong belief in the Boston Celtics because of the fact that I guess they almost lost to the Pacers and found a way to win. Like, to Evan, that was inspiring somehow. And I can't wait to pick his brain on that. He's going to be with us in a few minutes here on Theoretically Speaking, but I do want to allude to something that happened in the game that did kind of bring a smile to my face. In the back end of that game, if you didn't see it, the Pacers actually led this game 117-114 with 32 seconds to go, and they had the ball. right? The Pacers were supposed to win this game. Halliburton would dribble the ball off his leg. Jaylen Brown then would strip Pascal Siakam in a big moment there. And that all led up to this. The Celtics were down by three late in that game. Eight and a half seconds left on the clock. And the ball found Jaylen Brown in the corner. And it provided a historic moment, not just because of the shot that was made, but listen to the call from Mike Breen on ESPN's NBA coverage.
Trying to get free. Throwing in the corner. Brown fakes, fires up the three. Bang! Bang! Jaylen Brown knocks down the three to tie the game.
Okay. You heard it once. I'm going to play it back for you and listen closely to Mike Breen because he went with his famous bang, but I think I heard it a second time.
Trying to get free. Throwing in the corner. Brown fakes, fires up the three. Bang! Bang! Jaylen Brown knocks down the three.
Jaylen Brown eliciting the double bang from Mike Breen. C-Cat, I know you're not as big of an NBA guy. You're more of a Major League Baseball guy. You're a golf guy. But you are locked in enough with the league, the association, I should say. Do you know how incredibly rare a double bang is from Mike Breen?
There are less double bangs than there are men who have walked on the moon. That's a bona fide fact.
It's got to be. And I don't know how many men have walked on the moon.
Yeah.
Is it just Neil Armstrong?
I think it's like 13.
Are they really?
Yeah, it is.
That many more guys got on the moon since 1969?
I got to fact check that now. I pulled that number out of nowhere.
Google that before we go. So look, when we come back here on Theoretically Speaking, we're going to bring you Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. We're also going to let you know exactly how many double bangs we've had out of Mike Breen. C-Cat's already alluded it's under 13. And what's the ruling? Do we give it to him now or after the break? How many men have actually walked the moon?
I'm going to give them to him now because it's more of a responsibility thing. Only 12 people have walked on the moon. Not number 13. Not yet.
Where you were counting yourself. I believe in you, C-Cat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Theoretically Speaking, coming back to you right after the break, and we bring you presents. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Tonight we got two conference finals. Games, at least. Game ones. One in the NHL, one in the NBA. Of course, we got the Wolves and the Mavericks in Minneapolis. Game one of the Western Conference Finals. And then, not here in Sunrise, but out in New York, we got the Panthers versus the Rangers for the Eastern Conference Finals. Game one. I almost said that one was in Sunrise. That would have been an accident.
Sure would.
Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You got car accidents, truck accidents, slip and fall if you find yourself in a predicament. Anajar and Levine, Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, they will fight for you because they don't get paid unless you do. They fight to get you the maximum compensation you deserve. So call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes just one phone call to take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. C-Cat told you before the break that there have been 12 men to walk the moon. At first, he thought it was 13, but it was 12. And you're right. That was more than the double bangs out of Mike Breen. Only seven double bangs out of Mike Breen, the call that he gave for Jaylen Brown when he hit the three in the corner last night, game one, Eastern Conference Finals. Can we hear one more time, C-Cat? Double bang for Jaylen Brown from the corner.
Throwing in the corner, Brown fakes, fires up the three. Bang! Bang!
And according to NBA TV, only seven of those. Only seven in the history of Mike Breen calls. Speaking of calls, we got a superstar on the line here on Theoretically Speaking who made the call in. We got Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike who has a now newfound love, a newfound inspiration in what the Boston Celtics can be following that game one win in overtime over the Pacers, 133-128. Evan, how do you watch last night's game one and actually think the Celtics are a better team than what you thought before the Eastern Conference Finals started?
Well, you got to – wait a minute. Let's love for the Celtics. I can't stand the Celtics. Let's not do love. I understand why you are saying that. I get it, right? I understand basically some of my takes this morning on Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN West Palm.
You're a fan.
They get you to go there. But then now I'm going to have to clarify. What is this, a Jaden Rashada situation where I'm going to have to look back and see who's paying who on this? Which, by the way, is the biggest story. I am so into this story. So is he trying to get money from Florida, Miami? What is he doing? And when is he just going to play football and go to school? My God. Anyway, okay, so here's my thing. As you know, as a Heat fan, I am not somebody that likes the Boston Celtics. I am not somebody that during the course of the 82-game regular season where they won 64 games ever thought the Celtics were going to win the championship. They beat the Heat in five. Jimmy Butler, Terry Rozier, Jaime Jaquez at the end don't play. They beat the Cavs in what, six or five,
whatever it was.
Five. Donovan Mitchell doesn't play at the end. Jared Allen, their center, doesn't play the entirety of the series. So there's no reason, based on this team, six of the last 8 years in the Eastern Conference Finals, only one time in the NBA Finals, and not winning a title, for me to sit there and believe in Brown and Tatum. But last night, Theo, was the kind of game they should have lost a million different ways, and they found a way to win. I did not see that coming. I did not think that they would find a way to win, and they did. They showed some guts last night.
Did they find a way to win, or did the Pacers, an inexperienced team, find a way to lose? Because they gave the Celtics every opportunity late in that game and in overtime to win it. And then there were moments where the Celtics were gifted opportunities and they came up short, but then the Pacers were like, here, another one.
Yeah, well, go look at some of the Heat lineups that beat the Celtics. So, like, when we're talking about inexperienced teams, like, yeah, I get Butler, excuse me, and Adebayo.
No, I'm talking about the Pacers last night.
I know that.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying to you is Boston has found ways in the past to lose to this version of the Pacers, like this type of team. You're making it seem like that this is like the only time that they've played a team like this. They've played a team like this multiple times, and they seemingly have lost every time. That's my point. It's like they actually showed me something last night.
I think the difference between you and I and the way we consumed last night was I look at that as another fumble by the Celtics that the Pacers just didn't scoop up off the ground. Like, it felt like the Pacers did win that game last night, but the Celtics still lead 1-0. And I at no point did I feel like the Pacers could win the series. I still think the Pacers could sneak a game or two, even one on the road. But last night did nothing for my confidence in a Celtics title run. Here's my question to you, though, specifically about this series.
Wait, can I just comment on that one, Theo, quickly?
Yeah.
So this is where I disagree. Going into this series, I thought the Pacers had a legit chance to actually win this series in seven, right? Mm. I thought that. Now, here's my problem. I think the Pacers won the game last night. The Celtics just scored more points. And now the Pacers, in essence, have to beat them five times. And I don't think they can do that.
So and as much as we can say that, we kind of watched the same thing happen against the Knicks. Like, the Pacers had a game in there.
But the Knicks were a depleted team. The Knicks had no players. The Knicks hadn't been there before. You want to bring up experience, well, then bring it up with the Knicks. The Knicks, by the end of the series, were without a full-fledged starting lineup that would have been a top-five seed in the East. Like, at some point, you have to look at the team that's playing against them. I don't think Boston is some all-time team like other people do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I look at this and say, it's not comparable to the Knicks unless you tell me that Tatum and Brown are going to be hurt.
Well, they're in the midst of the easiest walk to the NBA Finals I can remember in my recent memory, and I do think that no matter what happens in all of this, there's no way the Celtics are the ones hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of it. Enough Celtics-Pacers, though. I don't want to bore people out here in South Florida who don't give a damn about what the Celtics have going on right now. I wanted to intrigue you with this game we played yesterday. It's focused on NFL quarterback talk, and I know you, as a former quarterback, you love some NFL quarterback talk, right?
Of course, and I'm glad you prefaced it. I am a former quarterback. Now, I didn't play in the NFL, but I am technically a former quarterback, so good for you. Proper context.
Well,
we see
your jersey up behind you on Unsportsmanlike every morning.
Oh, and you've seen it in person. You saw that intimidating number two.
It's a beauty.
Jersey right there.
It's a beauty.
I'm surprised you didn't want me to sign it for you and give it to you, but you didn't. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, so aside from the glory of your jersey that gets its showcase on ESPN2 in the mornings for Unsportsmanlike, you do have a good feel for quarterbacks. Yesterday we played a game. Trevor Lawrence is up for an extension with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, and there's a lot of people with a lot of consternation about whether or not they should pay him $50-plus million a year. So C-Cat and I sat here, and we played a game called Trev Or. Get it? Like Trevor, Trev Or?
Yes, I understand. Yes.
Perfect. So we're going to play that same game with you right now. C-Cat, can I get my music under bed? There we have it. And I'll play the C-Cat role here. I'll give you Trevor Lawrence or another franchise quarterback. Forget about money. Just tell me which one of these guys you would rather have leading your franchise. And we'll start it off.
For how many years?
For the next 3 years.
Okay.
All right. Trevor Lawrence, Trev, or Dak Prescott?
That's a close one. I happen to really like Dak. I'll probably go Trevor Lawrence. I have an immense amount of belief in him, and I think he's physically built perfectly.
Mm. Okay. Okay. I like it. Trev or Brock Purdy?
God, that's hard. I love Brock Purdy. I love the price tag he's at.
No price tags, though.
I love the team that he's around. I know. I'll go Trevor Lawrence. That one's hard for me.
I'm surprised you did that. You're one of Brock Purdy's biggest fans.
You can ask me in an hour and I may answer differently.
Right. Okay, I got you. So Trev Orr, the fun game here on Theoretically Speaking with Evan Cohen, where he pits Trevor Lawrence up against other franchise quarterbacks. Speaking of...
I'm waiting for one because I'm ready to tee off on something.
I know.
But I'm waiting for one.
Oh, we're going to save it. Come on, this is Sports Talk Radio, man. I'm getting used to this thing. Trev or Justin Herbert?
See, that's a really good one because Michelle Smallman on our show has, I think, properly been on this case of, like, why do we give the benefit of the doubt at all times to Justin Herbert? Like, why do we not group him with some of these other guys when he's proven nothing? I will take Trevor Lawrence, even though Justin Herbert's individual numbers are better.
Wow. Three straight. Well, I guess you got Dak Prescott over Trevor Lawrence. But then you pick Trevor.
No, I got Trevor Lawrence over Dak.
Whoa.
I got Trevor over Dak.
So three straight Trevor. You're a huge Trevor Lawrence guy. We're learning this about you.
I am.
Trev.
Yeah, no, I am. I thought he was going to be the best quarterback, top three quarterback in the NFL when he got to the league.
Well, you're living in the past. We've seen 3 years so far, and he has a losing record.
Oh, you're right.
Continuing you're right. With our favorite show here about franchise quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence. Trev or, and this is a tough one, Jared Goff.
That's not a tough one. Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
Lawrence is a 6'5 quarterback with a cannon of an arm that, at his best, has been precise and also can run the football extremely well. Part of this is you asked a specific question. Here's the thing. Well, Theo, you asked the question,
okay.
Trev Orr, for the next 3 years as your franchise quarterback. So that is me projecting what I think he's going to be, not looking back at what he's been. What he's been, not even close to Jared Goff, level of accomplishment. Two NFC championship games with two different teams, a Super Bowl with the Rams, lost 13-3 to the Pats. He has not been Brock Purdy. 2 years, two NFC championship games, and a Super Bowl loss this year to Kansas City. Right? He has not been Dak Prescott in terms of longevity as his starting quarterback. I understand that, but you're asking me to project the next 3 years. That's the key with this for me.
Well, speaking of projecting then, I'll go ahead and do it. Trev or Tua Tagovailoa?
Not even close. Don't even use them in the same sentence. I would take Trevor Lawrence, and so would every Dolphin fan, so would Mike McDaniel, so would Chris Greer, the general manager. If you were going to sit there and anyone's going to actually argue that they would take Tua over Trevor Lawrence, they are lying to you. You do not take an injury-prone 6-foot lefty quarterback over a 6'5 gunslinger like Trevor Lawrence. It's not even close. You want to make up that you're going to take that Tua over him? You're crazy. The Miami Dolphins, under no circumstance, should give Tua the contract that he's looking for, $50 million a year. Play it out this year at 23, franchise him next year, high 30s, franchise him again the year after that, low 40s, and see where you're at. It would be inexcusable to give him a $50 million a year contract.
A shrewd general manager Evan Cohen would be. We learned that just now. You would make that dude play on one-year deals for the next three seasons? How's that conducive to a good locker room?
If not, leave.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Like, okay, let me ask you a question. Baker Mayfield's at what, $30 million a year? Who's better, Tua at 50 or Baker at 30?
It's Baker. It's Baker. I take
okay.
Baker Mayfield.
So, okay, let me ask you a question. The Dolphins' backup is Mike White. He's a backup for a reason. If Mike White was making league minimum of Tua at 50, are you confident that you're a better team with Tua at 50 than you are Mike White league minimum?
Nah, I would take Tua at 50 over Mike White
okay.
league minimum.
Okay.
That's where
fine.
I draw the line.
All right, what about Jake Browning, the backup quarterback for the Bengals, who was excellent when he replaced Joe Burrow last year? What if I told you can get him at league minimum? You taking him
That's a different...
or Tua?
It's a different story. I liked him in college. So that's a different story. I think I might be talking with my heart there.
Theo, right. Okay. So you were on this guy before I was, right? But here's the thing. If you can even entertain you can't give that guy $50 million a year.
I think you might be onto something. I just didn't. Was that the one you were waiting
you
on, by the way?
You entertained this. You should have dismissed this. You entertained it.
I like the guy. I was talking with my heart. Was that the one, though, you were waiting on, too, right?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, you got it right.
I figured as much. Evan Cohen, you hear him on Unsportsmanlike Monday, or excuse me, weekdays. Don't just do it on Mondays. 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 106.3 with Michelle Smallman and my guy, Chris Canty. Thanks for pulling up on a Wednesday, and thank you for spewing some vigor out of Dolphins fans. I'm sure they're going to be calling now, mad at us.
They agree with everything I say. Ooh. I guarantee you.
Ooh, that's Evan Cohen. Appreciate you, man. Have a good one. C-Cat, that was different. I mean, that dude there kind of teed off on Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I will say I agree with him. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback. I said that yesterday in Trev or our favorite franchise quarterback game show. But the fact that he did it like that, I'm a little perturbed.
Yeah?
I'm taken back. We just had Evan Cohen on the Baptist Health Hotlines here on Theoretically Speaking. Speaking of Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. C-Cat, I do fear. Oh wow. Is it that time?
It's that time.
It's that time. Spot the imposter. Spot the imposter's back on Theoretically Speaking. C-Cat going to give us a list, and he's going to tell me three names. One of them actually does not belong because he's a liar.
Yeah.
What you got there, C-Cat?
So picture in front of you the list of the top 10 active NFL touchdown scorers. Now, this isn't passing touchdowns. This is carrying the football into the end zone, whether it be a rush, whether it be a pass, reception. Nope. Yeah, not a pass.
Or a punt return or a kick return, you carry the ball itself across the plane.
Top 10 all-time touchdown leaders who are active in the NFL still to this day. I will give you three names. Two of the names, they're in that top 10. The third name, I'm lying. They are not inside the top 10. Are you ready, Theo?
I'm ready.
So which of these names is not in the top 10 NFL touchdowns active leading? The first name I provide to you, Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
The second name I give to you, Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow. Ooh, that's a tough.
And the third name that I provide to you, Alvin Kamara. Which of those three names are not active all-time touchdown leaders in the top 10 of the NFL?
So, I have to pick the imposter. Spot the imposter here on Theoretically Speaking between CMC, Odell Beckham Jr., who is a new Miami Dolphin, by the way, and Alvin Kamara. Which of the three are not top 10 active in total touchdowns in the NFL? I'm leaning Odell. I'll give my answer when we come back. Plus, everybody's favorite segment, the Get Around. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We're in the midst of Spot the Imposter on Theoretically Speaking. C-Cat gave the names. Which of these three are not in the top 10 of touchdown leaders for active players? Christian McCaffrey, Odell Beckham Jr., or Alvin Kamara? See, I think it's pretty easy, which is why I'm also concerned with my answer. I'll give that answer right after I talk to you about the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. I used to be an imposter with golf. Now I'm decent. I'm solid. I'm getting around the course. I'm getting through 18, and I'm getting better every single time I hit the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, KaiserGolfCenter.com. That's where I go to work on my game. That's where you should pull up as well, because they don't just train you like an amateur. They train you like a pro. They train you to become a champion. And I'm getting better with my irons. I'm working on the driver. My putting game has always been kind of tight because, I used to be a player at the putts. You know what I'm saying? I used to really – I'm kidding. My short game sucks too. But I'm working on it, and I'm getting better. And thank you to the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. They've got putting greens. They've got chipping area. They've got a driving range. They've also got a 2,000-square-foot indoor facility with three different hitting bays, ball flight technology, video replay, and my coach, Coach Pete, he gets you right in there. KaiserGolfCenter.com. Train like a champion, like the Kaiser Seahawks. Spot the imposter. CCAT, my three options of the players who are not in the top 10, Christian McCaffrey, Odell Beckham Jr., and Alvin Kamara of active touchdown leaders in the NFL. Christian McCaffrey, I think, is the easy one to say he's definitely not the imposter. He gets like 20 touchdowns a year at this point. Like,
correct. He is in the all-time top 10. He's actually seventh all-time in the NFL.
Wow. I'm interested to hear this top 10 when we're done with this. Now it's between Odell Beckham Jr. and Alvin Kamara. Now, Odell had a prolific start to his career, plus he's played longer than Kamara. But as a fantasy football savant, number one, it's easier to get rushing touchdowns and receiving touchdowns when you're a running back because you're going to get the ball a lot. And Kamara's been the heart and soul of that offense since when Drew Brees actually had an arm. So I don't think it should be close. I'm going to go Alvin Kamara's not the imposter. Let's go. So that means that the imposter on the top 10 list is Miami Dolphins' newly signed wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. Odell Beckham Jr. is 20th all-time in touchdown scores for active players. He has 60. So Alvin Kamara has 78. He's 8th on that list of active players.
Let me guess the number one guy.
Yeah.
The number one guy that's active. Oh, that's tough. Is it a running back?
No.
It's a receiver?
In fact, the top two guys are
receivers.
Are both receivers.
Devontae Adams. And
once you hear the name, you're like, oh, of course.
I'm going to be mad, huh? I'm trying to think of the best receiver in the league. It's not Justin Jefferson, and it's not – who's a guy on his last leg right now?
That's the key thing.
DeAndre Hopkins. That's crazy. Why would I think that?
But he's in the top 10. He's got 78, tied with Alvin Kamara.
I'm liking this better than even Spot the Imposter right now. Okay, so it's
– tied with Devontae Adams, number one, with 95 touchdowns in his career, still playing football.
Wow. Julio Jones. What?
He's 12th with 67 on his career. It's Mike Evans, dog.
Wow. Oh, man. Texas's finest. Galveston, Texas, to be exact. Galveston, by the way, which we've learned from, Chuck, is a wasteland of a beach. And I learned that, too, once I moved to South Florida. Like, I'm sorry, and I would never say that to Mike Evans's face or anybody from Galveston. But growing up in Houston, we thought Galveston was a beach. We used to go to Kima Boardwalk for like post prom, and we would kick it out there and, sit by the sand, and it was a lot of seaweeds and stuff. We didn't know what we were embracing. Then I got here to South Florida, and there's Juno Beach, and then there's the beach off of Del Rey and the Palm Beach Island. Like, it's a totally different world. I've evolved to a level where I can't even imagine going back to Galveston Beach. But shout out Mike Evans. It's time we have our fun here on the show. Theoretically speaking, we do it every day, where we take you all across the nation to hit the biggest sports topics, that are from city to city across the globe. Our fans are diverse, so we want to be able to travel with you. And here it is, the Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round and round. I get around.
The Get Around today brought to you by Duffy's Sports Grill. Where's our first stop?
Next stop,
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The NFL announced Pittsburgh will host the 2026 NFL Draft in its spring league meetings today.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Number one, why are we going to Green Bay next year and Pittsburgh the year after that? We saw how cold it was in Detroit, and they're going to be hosting this thing outdoors outside of their stadium. But really, I want to talk about the Steelers right quick, because for my theoretically speaking fans, I want to clue you in on something.
Mm-hmm.
I heard specifically from somebody whose last name starts with an R and is affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going big game hunting for a wide receiver. You know they're not paying their quarterbacks anything right now. We know that wide receiver room is a little decrepit. They got rid of Deontay Johnson to the Panthers this past year. The Pittsburgh Steelers, be on the lookout for them. We know that Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk could be had right now. Justin Jefferson still working on that contract. I'm just saying, I want to be the first to tell you, and I can't give up my sources, but the Pittsburgh Steelers might not be done building up that wide receiver room out in Pennsylvania.
Next stop,
Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina mother is suing Hornets LaMelo Ball after the star guard allegedly struck her son with his vehicle.
Stop driving like an idiot, people. And I'm not saying that LaMelo Ball did this. Obviously, it's still under investigation and whatever. We're going to figure out the details. But I've seen videos before of him driving recklessly. We got guys like Rashee Rice right now in the offseason getting in trouble because of driving recklessly. Just be smarter. Get from point A to point B and stop almost killing people on the road.
Next stop,
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Minnesota governor wrote a letter to Timberwolves fans with an encrypted message.
That's right. And you know what that message was? The same one that Anthony Edwards gave to Charles Barkley like last week after Game 7. Take a listen.
Okay, I have not been to Minnesota in probably 20 years.
Bring your ass.
Bring your ass. It's taking over. Anthony Edwards, the future face of the league, he's going to go out and get that championship this year as a 22-year-old. And I can't wait for the world to continue to just soak up the aura that is Anthony Edwards.
Next stop,
South Florida at Duffy Sports Grill.
Come on now. Y'all know what time it is. Pull up on Duffy's, man. A Duffy's 2-for-1 right now could go so well, especially if you're trying to watch some action tonight. We know the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on right now. We know that the Western Conference Finals and the Ant-Man will be a show tonight. And thank God there's 80 or more television screens at every single Duffy Sports Grill. So hop online right now, DuffysMVP.com, DuffysMVP.com, and lock in. My favorite starter, the amazing mozzarella sticks. Crispy, cheesy, you dunk them in the marinara sauce, and they are, it's just an immaculate explosion of flavor in your mouth, those mozzarella sticks. And I'll leave it at that. Plus the award-winning burgers, award-winning drink, wings. Duffy's Sports Grill at Duffy's. Our game is always on. It's a fun get-around right there.
You got everywhere.
We got a lot of places. We got a lot of places, and we still have places to go here on Theoretically Speaking. Also, I will say this, C-Cat, man. We talked about who in sports you should cherish today because we don't know when we won't see them anymore playing actively. And it has me thinking, you know, as a guy that has been a hater of Aaron Rodgers here and there, not a hater, but at least a detractor, it is going to be a lesser of a league. It is going to be a little less fun covering the NFL when that guy is gone. We'll touch on, again, what he said at Jets camp today and whether or not the Jets Super Bowl or this season should be Super Bowl or bust, because I think that's an interesting thing there. C-Cat, Theo Dorsey, Theoretically Speaking, on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Time now for your Baptist Health Orthopedic Care off-season football report. Aaron Rodgers at the podium from Fordham Park.
I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing. We're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though. I know there's, you know, it's a tough market to play in. It's not for everybody. I relish that opportunity. And that's the way the NFL is. I'm not saying anything monumental as you guys are typing away and putting your tweets out. This is how it is every single year. You might not say it, but as you get older in the league, if you don't perform, they're going to get rid of you or bring in the next guy to take over. I mean, it happened in Green Bay. So, and I'm, you know, a few years older than I was back then. So I expect to play at a high level. I expect us to be productive and competitive and all that stuff to take care of itself.
Honesty from Rodgers right there. And thank God the next up guy in that locker room is going to be Jordan Travers from West Palm Beach, the Benjamin alum. I'm rooting for it. I don't know what's going to happen with the Jets this season, but I think it is Super Bowl or bust. That's the Baptist Health off-season football report. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Tonight in the NBA, we get Anthony Edwards basketball. The Timberwolves, the Mavericks, game one of the Western Conference Finals. We're going to give our picks against the spread. C-Cat and I are going to be doing this all the way through the end of the NBA Finals. Last night, of course, I had the Pacers covering the 10 points against the Celtics. They almost won outright. C-Cat, you had the Celtics covering and winning by 20.
Yeah, I saw a blowout coming and it never came.
Well, that's the story of the Boston Celtics, because they saw Larry O'Brien coming the past six times they made the Eastern Conference Finals, and guess what? It never came. And yes, I'm trolling the Celtics again because that's what I do. Also, what we do here on Theoretically Speaking every single day is take you home, and today we will take you home with our picks against the spread for Timberwolves and Mavericks tonight. I know who I want to take me home, take me. Wolves Magic tonight in Minneapolis. The Timberwolves, a 4.5-point favorite in game one at home. Coming off that historic game seven comeback, I think the Mavericks cover, but the Wolves win. What say you, C-Cat?
I'm with you, too. I'm seeing a bunch of screw you attitude from Kyrie and Luka in this game. Or the pick is against the spread. Yeah. I think the Mavs actually win outright as well, but I'm on the same side as you.
I got you. So we both have the Mavericks covering. You think they win. I think the Timberwolves get the first punch, and we'll see what the counterpunch will be from Kyrie, Luka, and the fellas. Ann Edwards plays basketball tonight, people. Can't wait. Go in peace. Go in love. Go enjoy. Freddie and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.
Is racking up tens of thousands of dollars in student loan debt really worth the four-year degree? Not a lot of people think so anymore. A recent Wall Street Journal poll found that 56% of us believe that a skills-based education, that's a smarter investment than a four-year degree. So why waste that time and money when there's an alternative?